Hi, folks. Before we get started, we'd like to take a moment to let you know some of the content on this podcast may not be suitable for some audiences. It's all in good fun, but we just wanted to let you know.
Previously on the Jay and Dan podcast.
Five-star review from S. Bacon 11. This podcast is funny. These guys are funny.
Yes.
Five stars from Mike's School of Literacy. I found out about these guys when they hosted The Herd and been hooked ever since.
Yes.
Tori Martino, five stars. My favorite podcast, as everyone around me knows.
Yes, yes, yes.
Can't wait to see all Dan's pics of his junk.
Went and had a big ham at your house.
Yeah.
Boy. Pants were optional.
Everybody took their pants off.
Covered them in ham.
Would it be weird if we ate our Easter ham dinner off of Tom's naked chest?
You ever seen a pig's penis?
It's only when my room is facing a pool do I watch to see what's going on.
You're listening to the Jay and Dan podcast.
Hey! Dance! It's the Power 106 podcast. Oh, sorry, episode 106. There's probably a Power 106 in every town.
Guaranteed. Oh.
Holy shit.
That stopped abruptly. Yeah.
That was great.
That was weird.
I'm Dan. This is Jay.
Hey,
it's back! Hey. Matt shows up.
Matt Muldowney just walked in.
Oh, and he just a look of disdain.
Look of disgust. Anger, of frustration.
The rage is boiling as we talk about him, and he sets up his computer.
Getting his computer, it says Pat Muldowney on it.
Oh, no. He's
don't touch my laptop.
Shh. Let's leave him alone. Okay. Let's leave him alone for a second. Well, he gets settled.
Leave Pat alone.
Welcome to the podcast. What a week it's been.
Oh, man. What a terrific week it has been. Engineer Jim's here with us. Ben Teller's here. Rich is here as well. Rich, you just tried your very first yerba mate. What did you think?
Delicious.
Yes.
Yeah, yerba mate. Anytime you want to send in those sponsorship dollars, although we advertise your product for free, feel free.
Yeah, it kind of seems like if I'm them, I'm like, you know what? Why would I do that when you guys are drinking it all the time anyway and talking about it all the time?
So I mentioned a big week. It's been a big week. Probably our best week guest-wise on our TV show.
I would agree with that. I would agree. It's been to be honest, the last 2 weeks on the show have been really fun and really terrific. Can I say something about our show, Fox Sports Live with Jay and Dan? If you are a Canadian listener, and we know most of you are, my suggestion would be to send a tweet to maybe one or both of the Canadian sports networks.
Or to the Space Channel.
Just
anyone.
To suggest, hey, you guys might want to pick this show up. This is a great show, and we'd like to see it.
Because this show can be shown in Canada. There won't be any restrictions because we show no highlights.
That's right. So it's only half an hour. Should be an easy sell. And there are talks going on to that end. But
there are?
We'd like a little encouragement from the listeners. So there you go. That's all I wanted to
say. So one of our guests this week, and that interview airs tomorrow, was Danny Trejo.
Yeah.
He's a movie legend. He's been in every Tarantino flick, probably.
He looks like a terrifying man on screen. He's that guy that you see. He's in Machete. He was in Heat. He was in Anchorman. I forgot he was in Anchorman.
He came in to promote his tacos, Trejo's Tacos. And the thing I guess that probably strikes everyone, Danny Trejo, not a tall guy.
Well, but as I said to you, like actors in general, I mean, it's a bit of a generalization. I know like Vince Vaughn and Ted Danson are tall guys, but most actors are a bit diminutive, I would say.
And I went back and watched the rest of Machete. And yeah, the camera angles, you can't notice it. Yeah. At all during the movie.
Yeah.
In any scenes. Because it's either really close to him or he's in behind a crowd.
Well, think of all the Tom Cruise movies that you've seen. Yeah. And he always looks like a big, tough guy. And he's actually 4'10". Tom Cruise is 4'10" tall. He's a wee guy.
If you've never seen Machete, I highly recommend it. I'd never seen it. And I was blown away. It's one of my new favorite movies.
How are Lindsay Lohan's tits?
She's naked twice in it.
Wow.
That was her probably last big role? Was that after Herbie the Love Bug?
She was doing a lot of... At the time?
Probably. It doesn't look like she had... Because she said face work done, right?
Yeah, a lot of face work. She's 20, and she's had quite a bit of plastic surgery.
Well, she's like 30 now, isn't
she? Yeah, I think she's like 30.
Hey, Pat, welcome to the podcast,
you're here!
Buddy.
Hi!
Good to see you.
Hi, guys. Good to see you.
Pat, you okay?
Everything all right?
Yep, things are good.
Okay.
All right. Okay, we'll get back to him.
Pat. Oh, give him...
Also,
give him a second to swim with the dolphins.
Also on this week, and if you listen to our daily podcast, the Fox Sports Live podcast, the Ice Cubes was here.
Ice Cube was on our show Tuesday night promoting his new movie, Barbershop, Return of the Barber.
I asked one Nicki Minaj question. I thought you would expand on that, but you left it all alone.
Well, I based it more on the fact that when you asked him what it was like to work with Nicki, he was like, "Man, it was all right." He didn't seem like he wasn't effusive in his praise. So I took that to mean not that he didn't like her, but that, you know, maybe they didn't totally hit it off like pals. So he was probably done talking about it. I really just wanted to ask about her ass. I wanted to ask about Nicki. I'm not going to lie to you, Dan.
Is it real?
I have a thing for her. She's like my celebrity crush. I think she's amazing. I think she's so hot.
Come here, cutie.
Yeah, I think she's really sexy. So I wanted, but I just want to get her on the show. You know who else I want to get on the show, Dan? I'm glad you brought up guests on the show. Tegan and Sarah. They have a brand new album out. They're Canadians. They're on the Wall of Fame here somewhere.
Right over there.
Where?
Right behind you.
Right there. Oh, there they are, right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd love to get them on.
I think we can get
to
them.
Talk. I feel like we could get the girls.
We could get the entry on Canadian's Wall of Fame. Each week we induct a new member on our Canadian Wall of Fame this week because it's Masters Week. Former Masters champ Mike Weir.
He's 200-1 odds to win the Masters.
That's
this
it?
Year. Yeah.
I thought it'd be like 2,000.
Yeah, 200-1. I think that's what it is.
I told you the outstanding bet I have with a gentleman we used to work with at TSN, Mark Blimpke. 2 years after his last win on tour, I said to him, I said, he will never win another PGA Tour event. I hope I'm wrong. And we have an outstanding
so
bet.
You hate Mike Weir.
No,
that's
no.
What you're trying to say. You
no,
don't
I,
want Mike Weir
I
to succeed.
I placed the bet so as to reverse the jinx.
He is 2,000-1.
It is 2,000.
Yeah, that's I thought so, yeah.
Wow. 2,001. Should
really
lay
nice
some
guy.
Money.
He's working on the TSN broadcast.
Yeah, he's part of the broadcast with Duffy. That's pretty cool. He'd probably be pretty good on TV. What happened to Nelford? Is Nelly gone?
No idea what happened to Nelford.
Eh, he's probably just drinking and looking at watching the TV, seeing Weirzy up there and just being like, yeah, he's garbage. I was better than that. I can do that better.
I can't. Master Sundays?
Oh,
just
the best.
Awesome.
You make yourself a big plate of nachos. You just get naked.
That was the first event I bought a TV specifically for. Because I bought an HD TV just to watch the Masters.
Oh, okay.
In time.
I thought maybe you didn't have a TV
cool.
at all.
Because it pops.
Cool.
Working
oh,
a TV,
yeah.
You didn't have a TV.
No, I had a TV. It
this is my weird. First time here.
That'd be weird.
One of my favorite sporting events for sure.
It's so amazing
awesome.
To watch.
Yeah.
And now it's in 4K.
What's that?
Yeah, it's like the next thing.
So
it's like
they've abandoned
HD.
They've abandoned 3D. 3D's gone.
3D's. I think that's yeah. over. I think that's over.
Because everyone knows 3D's next big thing, but they don't. I don't even see the TVs advertising.
No, now it's 4K. And actually, Canada was, I think, a little ahead of the States on this one because I know that Rogers and TSN were like fighting each other for the rights to you know to. Do the first 4K broadcast, and I think it's already been done, and they were touting it. But my only thing is, I think you need a specific cable box for 4K. Like, you can't just get it through your normal cable box.
Yeah, I think you need a specific box, and obviously your carrier has to.
So then the question is,
you
like,
need the right box.
But it's coming. It's coming.
But who's doing that? Who's going out? People are cutting the cord as it is. Who's going out and being like, yep, I'll get another cable box. I don't see it. I don't see
it. Now, people still do it because when I bought my last TV before my HD TV, I bought one of the big tube ones.
Yeah.
And I'm, guys like, HD. I'm like, whatever. That's not going to catch on.
But this is different.
So I missed the wave there.
I know what you're saying, but this is different because to me, there was a massive wave of people going from SD to HD, which totally made sense. It was such a dramatic difference. I don't see people now saying, you know what? I'm going to go to the 4K.
But are people watching YouTube and stuff on their TV or just on their phone? Again, I sound so old.
We watched the YouTubes on the TV.
The internet is amazing.
Yeah, you can do
it. I do both. I put my Apple TV on.
Yeah.
And I watch it all.
Yeah, you can do it all.
So Apple TV then might go to the 4K mode or Netflix
I bet.
And all that?
I'm sure it will.
Eventually,
sure
streaming
will.
All that
yeah.
will. But I just don't see people... Go like with cable television. I just don't see that.
The thing is, I think we really see the difference is with the big, like the 70-inch screens
yeah.
and
yeah.
stuff. That's when you really can see
yeah.
a marked difference between, you know, regular HD, 4K, so on and so forth. And, you know, I don't see anybody going, yeah, I think I'm going to go get that 32-inch TV. Yeah. Nobody does that anymore.
Yeah, to get my 4K.
Yeah, I mean, even in the bedroom, people have, you know.
Easy now.
I've got like a 32-incher in the bedroom and a 12-incher in the bed.
I refuse to put a TV in my bedroom because if I have it there, I'll never leave. I'll just gonna sit and watch.
That's what I do every night. See? My wife and I, we put on.
No, but I mean in the morning.
EvilAngel.com.
I got a 48-inch Sony Trinitron HD.
Because it feels like you're in a hotel room when you're hotel room, you just sit in the bed.
Exactly,
and
it's the best. That's what we do every night.
But again, I would weigh 800 pounds within 2 months.
No, you don't have to eat.
Thank you very much.
You don't have to eat. You just watch TV and probably have a beverage or two.
Exactly. Just be or line three. Of glasses and food, and people come in after a month. They're like, "Are you gonna get out of
every morning?" Every morning, time joining me here.
Every morning, I wake up and there's just a little bit of whiskey left at the bottom of my glass.
You know what you need is one of those. I see the infomercials all the time. The new painless catheters. You get one of those, you never have to get up.
Painless catheters?
Oh yeah, they say. Guess people don't need catheters all the time.
That got Pat Muldowney's attention. Pat Muldowney's all over that idea. I mean, he loves it.
There's six people in the room. Has anybody else seen this commercial?
Never.
No, I honestly haven't.
All the time.
What TV shows?
No one's
watching.
Seen it.
I don't know. Like daytime talk shows.
Where did you see that? EvilAngel.com?
No, they're on like daytime talk shows for the old people.
Man,
just like those the retractable awnings commercials. You order those babies up. They haven't changed them since the 90s.
Those ones have been on for a long time. The people in that retractable awning commercial seem like if they invited me over, I'd just punch them all in the face and then just walk away.
No, but you can tell they start cocktailing 10 a.m. every day.
Come on, it'll be
That's
fine.
Why they're out on the patio.
Yeah,
they're
but like, I don't want to hang out with them. They seem awful. They've got the pleats and their khakis.
Well, they look different now.
They are still dressed like that. That's how they dress every day. Hey, by the way, speaking of a podcast, Dan, the Daily Podcast, the Fox Sports High Podcast with Jay and Dan, Ben and I were just discussing this. We went this week, if you subscribe to both podcasts, this week we decided, well, let's switch up the format to the Fox Sports High Podcast. Instead of just giving you the audio of the show, we'll give you the extended version of the interview we do every night because it's really, sometimes we have to cut it down and we're like, maybe people would like to hear that. As it turns out... it turns out, people are upset at us for...
Hey, I wasn't in on the meeting.
I know. We thought it would translate better to a podcast format to just have the interview. Anyway, we apologize.
So it lasted 2 days.
2 days, and we're going back to the old one. But hey, give us credit. We're listening to the will of the people. We're going back to the old format.
Okay, can we still include the long uncut?
We could.
No, that adds work to Brumley. We don't want to keep him here later.
Brumley, you know,
Ryan Brumley works
so
on
hard.
The show.
Yeah.
He edits those together for us, does a great job, and that would...
Maybe it's not, but maybe it's not as much work as we think it is.
If you don't have to edit it, you just kind of lay it in.
And maybe, you know, instead of laying in like the B block, as we call it, the interview block, like you just lay in the whole
I hope Ryan's listening because then he's listening to you guys saying those
I don't know.
Giving me more work.
But
Dan's trying.
He's got a huge boner.
Dan's trying to make me not do more work and these bastards.
This just says Brumley drop. We haven't played this in months. A year maybe. I don't know what this is.
Let's hear it.
Twitter War Theater. Take no prisoners.
There he is.
The last time Brumley was here.
Okay, getting back to the show, we've got Misha Tate in studio tonight on the Fox Sports Live program. We're taping this on a Wednesday, so you've hopefully already seen it by then. Misha, we talked to her after she won the bantamweight title over Holly Holm, and we thought she kind of was indifferent towards us, but she turned a new page towards us in that interview.
So you're going to ask her about that when we interview tonight? Like, did you hate us? Why were you a
Oh, maybe. I won't use those words. I'll say, did you not like us before?
Yeah, that's a good one. We can say that we weren't sure if you liked us or not. I mean, being perfectly honest. And then she'll be like, why are you guys so insecure? I'll be like, because we're inadequate.
And then... So Danny Trejo interview Thursday, and then John Cena, WWE legend,
on Friday. Yeah, it's a great week of guests, as you said. And then we're going to take a week off. We're all going to go to Hawaii.
You're going to Hawaii. I'm going back to Oshawa.
Okay, so Oshawa, Hawaii.
It snowed there.
Oshawa is the Hawaii of Canada.
That's right. They have a beach.
Can't believe you guys got snow up there.
It's pretty cold up there right now, apparently.
Yeah, unbelievable.
I'm like everywhere. Winnipeg, I was talking to people in Winnipeg. They said it's balls cold up there.
Our guest on
that.
Baseball season's underway. It began this week. So our guest is our good friend, CJ Nitkowski. He had a very lengthy MLB career. Then he played. He's been on the podcast before. He's told us his story.
He's great.
So he's going to talk a little baseball.
And I want to talk to him about this the slide rule, the Chase Utley rule, and it affected the Blue Jays in their third game of the season. They lost the game on the last play.
And then Gibby getting a bit of heat.
Gibby not being PC.
Come on.
I mean, hey, because when you think politically correct, you think a baseball manager.
He says, what are they going to have us wear dresses? So who's taking offense?
Hey, a lot of people. So we're going to talk to him. But
me a daddy.
CJ got into it with some people on Twitter today. I want to talk to him about that. Mike Beer, Hall of Fame. And then, Aubrey Farrell is the one who suggested Mike Beer. We should mention this. She said, hi. Sad to see Mike leave, but maybe he won't read anymore.
Hi.
Or talk. So it's not that sad at all. In light of this week's Masters Tournament, I nominate Canada's only major champion, Mike Beer. Keep up the good work. Thanks, Aubrey. That's great.
Speaking of Mike, can we build a new drop? Mike Botticello update. So we like an urgent news update.
Mike is dead.
So we should check on him every week. I have a Mike Botticello update. I saw him Saturday, still alive.
Yeah, good to know.
So there you go.
That's it.
The people have spoken. They love the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. People miss Mike. Not the people in this room.
He texted me just before the pod. He wants to go to the Rainbow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. We got to hit the Rainbow up. Yeah.
He did say he was considering a tour around Canada himself.
Oh, I need GoPro video of this.
That's a podcast.
I told him he should do it.
Yeah.
Like, we would tell people.
He will show up in Canada. He won't have a passport. They'll be like, you need...
But he's from
Canadian,
there.
Though.
Yeah, he's Canadian. Now, here's the thing. Why don't we literally talk to Taggart and... Like, Mike can just do club appearances like he's Paris Hilton. Right? Here at different bars and clubs, people can go meet Mike. Mike can read different things to them.
I saw Mike at a bar, and Mike's presence in a bar is not, it's not overwhelming. It's,
what do you mean? What do you mean by that, Dan?
He's not dancing. He's just standing there.
What are you doing? You're dancing?
There was a band playing. I was dancing.
You were dancing almost the whole time.
Just by yourself?
No. Well... There's other people dancing, I think. Well,
not in the same area.
No.
But
we went to see our good friend Bernie Kim, who works on our show, and his band played. It's Burneth Fair. And it was great. Got to dance. Mike, not dance.
Good story.
Sounded like Mike was reading that.
Hey, we have a new sponsor.
Yeah, this is exciting. Dan, why don't you tell us
I guess
us
they
about
sold
it.
Out of the Casper mattresses because of
They're
our
gone.
Promotion.
They're gone.
Casper, you're welcome.
Oh, I'm reading it. Okay.
No,
or
they've
you
got
guys,
a little script.
Oh, you guys should read it together.
Script.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Here we go. Wish you could catch every ball game?
Now you can. Only T-Mobile customers get a free year-long MLB.TV premium subscription, a $109.99 value for free. For free! You'll never miss a game.
T-Mobile already regretting this? Hurry and sign by April the 10th to catch any out-of-market game all season long.
That's 2,430 games and over 7,000 hours of baseball that will never touch your data plan this season.
Thanks to Binge On only from T-Mobile, you can stream your favorite team's games without using any of your data.
Because T-Mobile has got you covered, unlike those other guys.
They're fucks. So get your free MLB.TV premium subscription by April the 10th and catch every moment all season long.
Switch to the Uncarrier today.
Already a T-Mobile customer? Sign up at T-Mobile.com/MLB.
Mandatory legal. Do we have to read that?
Yes, please.
Okay. I'll read it to you.
Okay.
Sign up for MLB.TV while on our network. New MLB.TV premium subscribers only. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details. Binge on available to T-Mobile customers with qualifying plan. Detectable videos typically streams at DVD quality. Video from participating services doesn't count against full speed data on our U.S. network. Third-party subscription charges may apply.
Oh. Thanks, T-Mobile.
Thank you, T-Mobile. Great to have you on board.
Love you guys.
I have a feeling this is going to be a sponsorship relationship that's going to last for the life of the pod. We'll have the T-Mobile logo behind us. We'll all be texting each other on T-Mobile phones.
T-Mobile, you're got this.
What?
You're got...
Oh my God. Sponsorship canceled. Oh my God. Can that? I think it goes. I don't even know. I don't really think I have to say it, but we're going to need that to be a drop forever.
Speaking. No, that's no segue at all.
But imagine. Okay.
You're got this.
Anyway. T-Mobile, I love you. You got this on a billboard. People are like, "What does that even mean?"
Yeah, then they'll inquire. I mean, I think
you would have to Google that.
Tag.
You would have to look
you're
that.
Got this.
Can you spell?
That's gonna catch. Can you spell? It's gonna catch.
Y-E-R. G-O-T. This. You're got this. I was like, "What the awesome. Fuck? How's that selling phones?" Doesn't matter. That's the slogan now.
Should we do a quick 6 degrees of engineer, Jim?
Yeah,
while we,
let's do it.
Because CJ should be here any second.
Five minutes.
Here in
let's
minutes.
Let's do 6 degrees.
All right.
Jamming with Jimmers.
Whoa! Wait. So engineer,
you
Jim
know
is
that's
our...
Brumley too.
Is it?
Yeah, that's
Brumley did that.
Yeah.
I thought that was you.
No.
This is a segment of the Jandan podcast where we talk to our award-winning producer, engineer Jim. Producer. I said producer. I mean engineer. Because he's worked with the best in the biz. So you send in your suggestions, and we see if there's any correlation between Jim and an amazing artist.
And Derek Long, or Longe, L-O-N-G-E, sorry, Derek, I like this one, the Sex Pistols.
Mm-hmm. Ah, the Sex Pistols. Yes!
There is a connection.
Yes. With Steve Jones. I don't know if you guys ever check out his radio show, too, Jonesy's Jukebox.
No, is it
is
satellite
he on
radio?
At noon?
Yeah.
Because he speaks for 30 minutes at a time sometimes.
Yeah.
Wait, so
yeah,
local radio?
Yeah.
He had Henry
here
Rollins on the other day.
Yeah, he's great. It's a great show.
He doesn't give a shit. He just is.
That's right.
Talks about anything he wants.
Anything, yeah. Yeah, he's
it's
great.
Really good.
So, when we did the spaghetti incident, we did a bunch of covers of from different punk bands, and we did Black Leather, which was a song that Jonesy wrote.
Nice.
And he came down to the studio while
nice.
We were recording it.
That's
stuff,
cool.
Too. Yeah.
Hey, speaking of GNR, they just played the Troubadour, famous club here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah.
This past Friday, it was like a gong show. I'm sure many of you have seen the video. So
what is that seat place? What is that place seat?
What is that seat place?
I can't speak today.
It's like a couple of hundred, you
that's
know?
It. That's
yeah,
incredible.
It's not that big. It was packed in there. Yeah.
Okay, and then the second one, I think we might have had this one, but maybe we haven't.
Metallica.
Yes!
Yeah!
Yeah, no, you know, obviously, again, with the Guns connection, with the two bands touring, the Guns and Metallica tour.
We talked about this before.
Yeah. How would
Faith
that?
No More
that
opens,
awesome.
Right? Faith No More opens, Metallica and Guns.
And
what
Guns,
year was
yeah.
that?
Like 92, 93.
Oh, yeah,
92, 91, 92,
was
somewhere
that stadium
around there.
Tour or festival
yeah,
tour?
Yeah, stadium. And it was great. When they played the Rose Bowl here, it was awesome.
How well did the bands get along?
You know, it's kind of a weird thing. I mean, the guys are all friends, mm-hmm. and I you know, I don't know what happened on that tour. I don't know. You know, there's a lot of stuff, speculation and talk, and you know,
soon after
things.
That the GNR, you know, as we know it, kind of.
Yeah.
Cease to exist.
Yeah, you know, I think everything was fine until that show in Toronto where Hetfield got burned, you know, with the pyro blowing up, and then, you know, Axl had some issues with whatever was going on stage, and I think he might have wanted to make sure that they were safe and there wasn't going to be any problems.
Right.
Somehow or another, stuff got canceled, and people.
It was the beginning of the end.
Didn't appreciate it. So, but you know, you can't. I still say you can't blame Axl or any of that stuff for that. But Lars used to come down while we were making Usual Illusions, and he used to hang out. I remember one night.
Lars, just for those who don't know, Lars Ulrich, the drummer.
He's the drummer, yeah. I remember one night in particular.
He's weird, right? He's a strange cat.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He's the one who ended Napster.
He spoke out about artists not getting paid, and everyone vilified him for it. It was kind of actually.
What's a web page?
You know, in any event, I just recall one particular night at Slash's house with me and Lars. And Slash and Mike Klink, the producer of Guns, and Ron Jeremy. That was a pretty interesting night.
Wow. What?
Yeah. Yes.
Did Jeremy pull out his penis and try to suck it? Because he apparently can do that. He can suck his own cock.
It was a pretty crazy night. On
that note, we welcome in our guest for the podcast, CJ Netkowski.
Hi, CJ. Can you suck your own cock? What?
Oh, just wait.
There you go, CJ. I
was going to say, there's a sentence I want to say. Not that sentence, but the last one that Jim just said right there when I was hanging out with Lars. I would like to have said that sentence at some point in my life.
Yes.
I was perfectly fine standing in the corner listening to Metallica stories over me actually having to come in here right now and talk. That would have been a good 30 minutes for me.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
It's good to have you back.
It's good to be here.
How was your off-season?
Off-season was great, man. It actually was longer than expected.
Because you go back to Atlanta when you aren't working for us here at Fox.
Yeah, go back to Atlanta after I was done, middle of the postseason, I was finished, and go hang out for, I don't know, 4 or 5 months. It's not a bad gig.
Yeah, like, what do you do? Do you just golf? You hang out with the kids?
Nah, I'm busy, man. I'm always busy because I have 3 kids, 16, 14, and 8. It's just nonstop. I still do radio in the off seasons. Keeps me sharp for this baseball part, but it's nice, man. I could do it right from my house.
And I have to tell you, you're fun to follow on Instagram because your boys are into baseball.
Uh-huh.
So you have videos of them like practice sliding in the house and stuff, and you hitting fly balls to them. And
it's fun, man. We stay active. I mean, that's the one thing I like about our house is that it's probably not for everybody. It's not your typical house in the sense that, well, there's a lot of sarcasm. Well, there's probably a lot of sarcasm in your house, too.
I have a baby, so I just tell her to shut up.
Yeah, you can. But we have a lot of fun in our house, a lot of sarcasm, maybe a little bit too much. But, yeah, we have a good time. I enjoy it. I mean, I'm happy to be back here.
And your oldest is a pitcher.
16. I got some bad news today.
Uh-oh.
He got his driver's license. He passed his driver's
test. Oh, boy. Here we go. Yeah,
so my insurance went up today, which is fantastic.
So Atlanta, same rules where you have to have an adult till you're like 18 in the car or something. You can't drive at night.
I should know the rules, and I know what they are. You can get your permit at 15. I know that. And then you can get your driver's license at 16. And then once you have it for the first 6 months, you can only have immediate family members in the car. I believe it is, and then something like that, whatever happens after
that.
My son just got his license, too, so I feel for you.
Yeah, we all got our license.
That's exactly
it's like the Wild West, because I got a piece of paper without even my picture on it, and they're just like, you can leave by yourself.
I got mine at 14, my learners.
That's the thing.
Really?
The other thing, I don't know if you ran into this, Jim, kids are not in as much of a hurry to get their driver's license the way we used to be. Like, I was driving before I had my license. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah.
I was
same here.
Stealing the car, driving around before I ever had a piece of paper that said I was allowed to. But what you see now from kids, because, you know, we think, okay, this is how we got to go socialize. I got to get my car and get out of here, or steal my parents' car and get out of here. Well, they socialize on their phones now.
Yeah, that's
so they're
true.
Not in such a rush to all of a sudden, let me get a car and get out of here.
Yeah,
so
right.
I'll tell you a quick story funny about New York driver's license, how they used to be, which is so ridiculous. But so when I was 16, the way that New York State driver's licenses were, you could actually write with a pencil and change your birthday. because of the way that they weren't laminated like they are nowadays. Like, there was no way. So you get the right person to do it with a steady hand.
That's funny.
And you could change. I could change that 73 when I was born to a 70.
God.
So when I was 18, I turned 21.
Yeah. Oh,
it was the greatest thing ever.
Now, does Atlanta have
CBGBs every night?
Yeah.
Does Atlanta have the same licenses so you immediately see it and it's turned sideways so they can't use it to get it in a bar because the bouncer looks at it immediately and says, this you need to be 21 to have a regular license.
It is such not a worry in our life, man.
Yeah.
My kid is just not even like...
I just find it very interesting. I'd never seen that before.
At some point, he'll get to that, you know, but he just is not like... Right now, I do this with my kid. You know, I think it's important. Reading and writing with kids is brutal because of where we are with digital. So what I've told him is I want him to keep a beer block just with us at home. And I make him... When I bring home beer, I make him drink it. And he's like, all right, fine. Like, he's not like even like dying to drink it.
Wait.
I make him stop for a second.
You're forcing alcohol on your child. I love it.
I just feel because he's just, I mean, again, when I was 16, I was already drinking a ton. I drank more in high school than I did in college. But they're just, he's not there, which is great. My wife's happy about it.
So he hates the taste.
No, he doesn't hate it, but he's just like not like, oh, I can't wait to sneak out and drink some beers this weekend with my buddies.
Like, you're taking the coolness factor away from it, which is very smart on your part.
I think.
Very smart.
Hey, the first time I tried to, he was probably like 13. And I think my wife was like drinking wine or something. And I was like, hey, man, you want a sip? He's like, you can't make me. I was like, dude, all right, well, take it easy. Relax. I just want you to have a sip and try it. So I make him taste beer, and then I make him write about it a little bit what he likes.
And then the next one, cigarettes.
No, that's what we're
so then about. He could be like a beer sommelier, right? Or whatever they call him.
Yeah, you know, yeah. We kind of just make fun of the beer nerds, you know, these guys that are on. If you see them on Twitter, and, hey, yeah. This is a little hoppy and blah, blah, blah.
We've got a few of them working for us.
Oh, you do?
Hey,
all right.
You're also a great Twitter follow, and today I'm following you, and you're getting into it with some people. And I loved your tweet where you said, and I'm paraphrasing, I wish there was a place where a person who had played professional sports could hear from people who had never played professional sports about how to play professional sports. Oh, wait, Twitter. Brilliant. Now, this, all I assume, all stemmed from the slide rule, the Jose Bautista, and obviously a lot of our listeners are interested in that. So just for people who don't know, would love to get your take.
I think Pat is going to enjoy this, but I was pretty jazzed because I got a like from Blake Griffin on that tweet.
Oh, that's awesome.
Nice. Yeah.
He's kind of a big deal.
Yes.
Whenever you have an M after your followers, you're a big deal.
Yeah.
In my house, when I got the K, my kid was like, all right, you're legit now. An M is a
that's
big
serious.
Deal.
I got that from Carl Anthony Towns yesterday, and that like made my whole year.
Isn't it? What's wrong with us?
I don't.
We're supposed to be grown men. Like, why should I be excited about a guy liking my tweet?
13 years younger than me.
Oh, okay,
and
yeah.
It made my day.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Sadly, I'm the same way. But so what happened, right? So the slide deal, it all happened yesterday. But here's what ticked me off.
We should break down the play.
Okay,
what happened?
Well, we can quickly break.
Yeah, just.
Here's my
Jose Bautista reached out when he slid
in. So this new slide rule is based on what happened last year with Chase Utley and Ruben Tejada when he took him out, and then also Jung Ho Kang and Chris Coughlin. Both of these guys suffered major injuries because of slides that were second base. Everybody was in a big uproar, and now we're going to change the rules. So they changed the rules, which is fine, protect the players. But what happened with Jose Bautista yesterday, I don't think I can grab a guy. Outside of our UFC guys that are around here, you're not going to be able to grab a guy's ankle and hurt him trying to break up a double play. He slides into second base. The bases are loaded. The tying run is on third. The go-ahead run is on second, so he's thinking, I'm breaking this double play up. He does, but he uses his hand to try to sweep the middle infielder. Was it Logan Forsythe tries to take him out. They review it. They call interference, automatic double play, and the game is over. The Blue Jays actually took the lead on that play because Forsythe threw the ball away. Kind of bullcrap. Two things real quick on the baseball side of that. One, if he doesn't reach his hand out, they're probably not going to call
100%.
But 100%, yes. But in the explanation of what they said happened, he said he also went past the bag.
That's right.
So they said there was two violations.
There's four violations, right? They got to tick off boxes. Yeah.
Can you imagine if he didn't reach out, but they called him just going past the bag? The outrage that would have been today. I mean, it was bad enough.
And the umps aren't even making the call. They're making that call back at MLB headquarters.
Well, and it was the Rays video review guy who actually spotted it,
right? Nerds, man.
Yeah,
they got
nerds.
Him again. The nerds got him. This is baseball, man. The nerds are taking over. But so yeah, so that because there was no outrage even in the dugout,
right?
Like, you know, Jim Hickey and Kevin Cash weren't like, what? They happened. They're like, oh crap, they got the lead. And and then some nerd comes in. Wait a minute.
I think it was Harold Reynolds who said, "There's something to the old way, and if the base runner did not come in contact with you, you felt great because you're like, I turned a great double play.
Absolutely. You avoided them, right? That's part of that's part of the artistry, I think, that goes on for middle infielders is sitting there and playing that game, because you come over to take a throw at second base, you're going to go one of three ways. You're going to stay in the bag and jump up, you're going to go across the bag and try to avoid the runner, or you're going to catch it and step back and avoid the runner. All different ways that you can do it, and whenever you accomplish it, you feel like you've done a good job. And on the other side of that, whenever you guess right and take a guy out and break up a double play, you feel like you've done your job. That is kind of now going away. So we're going to miss that. So that whole deal happened yesterday, and I'm sitting on Twitter today this morning. I was up at 4:30 this morning, so I actually had a nap, so I'm going 100 miles an hour right now.
Before you continue, you said the one thing. I feel like you didn't get to the second thing. You said then
with the hand, the contact.
The hand,
yeah,
right,
the contact
exactly.
was the first. No matter what, you still can't reach and grab guys.
Right,
that was the part.
Yeah.
So that's that part of it with Jose. It's
even
hard to get on board.
Even though it didn't, as people are talking about, Logan Forsythe wouldn't have made the play anyway, didn't affect his throw, doesn't matter.
No.
That's in the rule book now.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, the other thing that's, you know, the spirit of the rule, which is always a phrase that makes things get even dicier, but the spirit of the rule is we're trying to protect guys from getting hurt.
Right. Yep.
nobody was getting hurt on this play, so no. Why are we calling it's nonsense? And I hope we're going to talk about what John Gibbons said after, because that was fantastic. But so that whole thing happens today, and I'm sitting there on Twitter, and I see some things coming across, and it was actually based on a couple different things. But I'm listening to people in the business. Fans are one thing, you know, let them rant. People that are in the business that cover the game are going on about how players should be feeling, how players should be reacting. You know, I get it, man. We got good guys. You don't have to play this game to be able to analyze this game or to be able to be a great reporter. You don't have to be. When they start getting into how you should be feeling and how you should be reacting on the field, and coaches shouldn't be yelling at each other in Texas, it was Scott Service, the manager of the Marlins, and Jeff Banister, the manager of the Rangers, were barking at each other, and people get all worked up and say, stop acting like children. You couldn't act like that if you were in grade school. That stuff just really pisses me off.
Right,
then I'm
right.
Like, that's where you don't know. I'm not the guy that says, oh, you didn't play. You don't know. You can't talk about it. That's not where I was getting at. But when you start going inside the mind of a player and then telling him how he should be acting in the heat of the battle, just I get the ass when that happens, man. So it pissed me off a little bit. So I wrote a little bit of a sarcastic tweet, which is usually the kind of way that I handle things, a little passive aggressiveness via social media.
And what was your favorite response to that?
Well, it's funny. So I tweeted that out just as I was doing radio. I had 3 hours of radio this morning, and so I'm trying to read it, and I'm hosting. I'm not in the analyst chair, so I actually have to pay attention and, like, lead the show. And I'm trying to, like, fight with people on Twitter while I'm at the same time trying to keep a show going. I just, you know, a lot of people just saying stupid stuff.
Twitter war theater!
I tell you,
no prisoners!
I'm a big fan of the mute over the block.
Yeah.
The mute is, like, the greatest thing.
Oh, the mute is the passive-aggressive person's dream.
It's outstanding. So that person's still yelling at you and thinking they're getting it, but you're never seeing it.
100%. Like, and not only that, people that, not to say I'm doing this, but people whom perhaps I work with but don't need to hear everything
I'm with you, man. Listen, I am perfectly fine. Some people seem, like, offended by it. Like, if you're like, dude, CJ, we love you, but it's too much.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's what I always say about Twitter. I can't remember if I ever told you guys this or not, but think about this, right? At least in the United States, about half of the marriages in the United States end in marriage, right? Or end in divorce. These are people that at one point looked at each other and said, I love you. I love you. And half of them don't make it. How are you going to make it on Twitter with people you didn't fall in love with and see them every single day? There's no way. And be with them every day. So it's perfectly fine with me. I get it. I never would take it personally. Some people get really worked up. I'm like, I get it, man. Because there'll be days where I just get Twitter diarrhea, man. I'm just knocking out 15 in a matter of an hour.
Yeah, you got a few things to say.
Nobody wants to hear that, really.
But what was your best response?
Just more. It's always stuff about, like, oh, you were a terrible player. Only reason I know my career ERA is because people love to throw it back in my face all the time. So it'll come across. So I know I had a 5.37 only because I saw it like 15 times today. I came across it. Thanks for reminding me.
Getting back to protecting the players, and then we'll move on from this slide thing. But when you played, you must have seen injuries on that play, but no one ever considered changing the rule. I remember Tony Fernandez with the Blue Jays broke his elbow on a play after a slide like that.
Well, how about the Hal McRae slide, if you guys ever saw that video from 1973, I think it was 73, in the World Series, where he flat out took Willie Randolph and put him in left field.
Yeah.
I mean, you see these ones where guys aren't sliding, they're basically dropping their shoulder in the chest of a middle infield. Yeah. I mean,
most likely more injuries back then, but why are we changing rules now?
There's no social media. And there was no whiny writers, to be quite honest with you. We got a lot of these guys now, like when Buster Posey got hurt, right? Same thing.
But look at all the sports, CJ. Like every sport, everyone's taking care of players more, as they should. You know, I mean, it's good. Like the NFL with concussions, hockey with concussions. Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, baseball. The problem is, like, baseball has all these, like, unwritten rules. Mm-hmm. So it's harder with baseball because you have that sort of tradition of the sport. And then you have this new era. And like you said, baseball attracts nerds. It does. It does, because it's a sport where there's lots of stats and stuff like that, and those nerds want to protect the
players. They get mad because they love the game.
Yeah.
Right? They're not athletes, you know, but they love the game, and then when they see a guy, especially a guy that they like, get hurt, that really sets them off.
Sure.
That's why I think about all the catchers before him. Buster Posey gets taken out by Scott Cousins. It shouldn't have happened. He went out of his line to take him out, but he's just used to doing that. That's how the game was played, but because it was Buster Posey, there was an outrage. There was all these non-superstar catchers for years that were probably hey, where were you 15 years ago? Years ago, when I got absolutely plowed over and crushed my career, nobody cares. But as soon as it happens
Martinez.
To Buster Posey, they're like, "Hey, wait a minute, it can't be happening to Buster Posey.
Yeah. Right.
Let's put an end to this." So, but that's part of the process.
And it's the same with the Chase thing. You know, it happens on such a grand stage. you know, and they lose a player. It's like, all right, well, we got to do it. This cannot continue.
And on top of that, so they don't like him because he's a little bit of an old school guy, right? He's just extremely, like, doesn't care about media, just wants to do his thing. And what kills him is that when he goes back in the dugout, people are giving him high fives.
Right. Yeah.
That's the part where, like, wait a minute, high school. I remember this. I remember this day.
I remember those jocks.
Absolutely not. This is going away. You know, that's pretty much the process.
Quickly on the Expos, they had great attendance when the Jays had their games up in Montreal. And then it's always followed by people saying, your move now, MLB. They need an ownership group. They need a plan.
Are you quoting John Paul Morosi right now?
did he send that out?
Well, JP loves.
I know.
He's a huge pusher.
But they need an organization or a group to come with a plan, right?
I don't know. It's just a matter of whether or not does baseball need two more teams? Or is it a matter of let's get Tampa and Oakland out of there and find them new places?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I think, listen, Tampa or Oakland is a no-brainer. I think they're definitely going to do better in Montreal than where they're doing right now. I mean, both of those stadiums
Oakland
are awful.
But Oakland can't leave. The Oakland A's can't leave Oakland.
They started in Philly, right? I mean, it happens.
It's a terrible stadium, I know.
They even lost their ownership, right? We used to call O.co, Overstock.com.
Yeah.
We got an email that says, please don't refer to it. We don't have our sponsorship anymore.
Oh, my
it's just
the Oakland Coliseum. It's like this podcast. No, we have more sponsors than the Oakland A's do.
And guys are getting sick there left and right and all the sewage. I think it's any coincidence. Like five guys
floods
the
all the time, right?
Yeah. So I don't know, but it's fun, man. It's always fun to think about. I know like Pedro was talking about it big time. You know, maybe he needs to step up a little bit and throw some of that money around.
It's like we've always said, there's two major media companies, Rogers and Bell. Rogers owns the Blue Jays. Bell, just step up.
Is that communications?
And they own TSN, so they would have a sports network to put 162 games on. It'd be fantastic.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome, Bell. You're welcome.
Yeah. We've been suggesting that for years, but obviously it's easier said than done. But.
Yeah, I mean, I end up doing a lot. I don't know if I told you guys this. I do a ton of Canadian radio.
Yeah,
a lot of like all the time.
Which stations?
Guys.
Give them a plug.
I'm bad at remembering which stations. Definitely some TSN stuff, but a lot of them they are. I know it's kind of cliche, man, but they're just the nicest guys to deal with. I mean, they really are just super nice, and I try to answer every radio request from them as a yes.
Yeah, because they're
so polite.
They probably aren't trying to get you bash players. They're just
they're great. I just really enjoy the conversations that I have.
A lot of Blue Jays talk then.
Yeah, a lot of Blue Jays talk. I mean, they prefer, they want a little Blue Jays for me, and then they want some big picture stuff nationally.
So let's talk big picture stuff. Yeah. What's jumping out at you? Noah Syndergaard, my God.
Did you see the thing about how the Kansas City Royals played American Woman when he warmed up?
Yeah.
I mean, I love that kind of stuff.
And people were mad about that? Yeah.
Well, people get mad about anything these days. But the best part was that he actually admitted that he heard it. Usually, you're so locked in, you're not even thinking about it on the road. He goes, I heard it. I took note of it. Lead off triple and then punches out the next three guys.
And then everyone's talking about the slider.
Yeah.
And it's like over 90 miles an hour.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. He's so big and strong. You worry a little bit just because so many guys that are throwing that hard and start throwing sliders that hard. You know, fingers crossed, and hopefully he can beat the odds, but it's a little bit concerning when you're thinking about throwing a slider that hard, man, at this elbow. Hopefully nothing happens there. It's fun to watch and to see that kind of break on a pitch with that kind of velocity, but I do get a little bit concerned. These guys are getting so big and so strong, and your arm can only take so
much.
And
he, of course, is in the R.A. Dickey trade, so Jays fans will always follow him. And
Travis
him and Travis Darno, of
that
course.
Stings a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit, but, I mean... Yeah, Dickey's been okay.
Yeah, we got one more year. You worried about the three guys? It's Dickey, not as much, but Encarnacion and Jose Bautista. Any of those guys going to be a Blue Jay next year?
I worry about
this. Is Bautista? I'm not worried because I'm focusing on this year.
Yeah, I think with the Jays, you can't. Now you have to go year to year because this team has not won for so long. Man.
They're World Series bound this year, right?
I hope so.
Jays,
one
Mets.
More, they got to do exactly what they did last year, which is find a David Price. Not going to be obviously David Price this year, but finding that other pitcher to put them over the top. Aaron Sanchez, velocity looked really good, and he could be an impact guy. I love Marcus Stroman for sure, but it could be just that one more guy that maybe they can find. Now, the problem is there's not going to be as many available
out there
as there
year.
Was. Yeah, just...
And you know what's funny, CJ, is they could have signed him.
Well, you think they could have got
there?
But
they cheaped out.
Well, now that's the other thing.
They didn't even give him an offer.
Now, if they win, I think everybody will love Mark Shapiro, right? But until then, is he just...
I think people are always going to be upset. Like Alex Anthopoulos, was the architect of this team, and just he's gone. Oh, and by the way, he should be gone. Yeah, he's part of the 70,000 front office people with the Dodgers. But yeah, I think until you're right, until they win, people will always be bitter about the fact that AA left.
Oh man, it's so bad. It was interesting, right? They offered him a 5-year deal though, so there was something there about the relationship. It sounds like.
Well, I think, you know, if you think Mark Shapiro, like he's in his, you think he's a GM, right? Yeah. I know he's the president of the team, but in your mind, he's like he was the GM of the Indians forever, mm-hmm. and so.
If you don't have autonomy.
It just doesn't make sense, I think, from AA's perspective. I understand why he left.
He broke some hearts for sure on the way out. I was like, we were all shocked. I was like, oh, wow, turned down 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, it must be nice to be in that position.
He'll be all right. Have you seen that the documentary it's out right now, Fastball?
I have not seen it.
It is fascinating.
It is? It's Kevin Costner narrated, is that right?
Costner does
it. I haven't seen it.
David Price appears in it. But they talk about what was the fastest pitch ever because they didn't have radar back then and when they were calculating the pitches, they weren't doing it at the right spot, so they had mathematicians come in, and they figured, I won't give it away who they said the fastest pitch
ever. I really
prefer
you just tell me.
Nolan Ryan.
Oil can boy.
Oh, would they have a number?
Yeah, it's like 107 or something.
Really?
Yeah.
What? That's a tough one to buy, I believe, into.
That seems...
I saw a guy the other day, now you see like guys long toss now so much. I saw a guy the other day crow hopping, so it's not a pitch off the mound, but crow hopping, they had the radar gun up there, and I saw him hit 106.
Well, they calculated... almost immediately as it leaves the hand, because back then they did it as a crossed home plate where it's already lost most of its velocity.
Exactly.
And they talk about a fastball rising, how it's impossible, but with a fastball, it just doesn't dip at the end like other ones. So it looks like it's rising because it stays on the same plane.
That's exactly right. When people say that the ball rises, you know, it does not rise. Because they would say that about El Cid. With the Mets, the lefty with the Mets, right? The ball would sit there and rise, and it's just it doesn't come down. Chris Young doesn't throw hard. The guy with the Royals, but he gets such great spin rate that the ball just doesn't come down as quick as that. He's throwing like 86.
And they have hitters talking about the difference between a 92-mile-an-hour fastball. They said you can see the stitching, you can see the writing, and then a 96, they said it looks like a P.
Yeah.
A 4-mile-an-hour difference.
I think it all has to do with how many times the ball is actually spinning. I think that's the big one for sure, but I don't know. They could see all
and,
of that
and
really
then
well.
They talk about how it is terrifying up there. If you think about it, this guy is off a bit. I might die.
Yeah. No, it's so, kind of scary for sure. I mean, I told you
when you,
guys
you see 100 on the gun, they say you're like, you get a little jolt in your body.
I mean, I told you that story. I hit Craig Counsell in the face in 98, the manager now of the Brewers, you know, and it was probably about 93, and just squared him up right in the jaw and broke his jaw and missed had to miss the rest of the season, man. It's, you know, guys with bad control like me probably shouldn't have been out there.
Asked you this before. What did you
That's why you pitched so low.
What did you top out at? What's the fastest you saw?
So I would sit around, you know, 92, 93, see some 94s, but one day in Atlanta, something about day games where the gun runs were a little bit hot and maybe the wind was blowing, but I saw a couple of 96s one day in Atlanta.
Nice.
So I just tell people one day.
Let's take you out to the Fox lot right now.
I got a tournament
and we'll prove you can hit that number again.
So when you pitched, did you glance up after each pitch to see what you were?
So it's probably the worst thing ever happened. And guys are like, if you watch closely and pay attention, well, you know where the radar guns are, right? So you might do, like, if it's only in center field, you might, you know, do like that after you threw a pitch just to kind of get a glance, which is the worst thing you do. When before the Giants had their new stadium and they were still playing in Candlestick, right? So it was a football field, and they used the play clock as the radar gun. It was the same clock. So you would stand on the mound, and it was right there. So you had no choice. There's no way you weren't seeing it, right?
You're
like
staring you in
the worst
face,
part
literally.
Is you feel like, oh, man, that felt great. 89. Right, and you're like, you should not be thinking about any of that stuff at all. Then you know, then you throw a good one. And
didn't Roger Clemens get them to turn off the radar gun after like the fifth inning? I think he did.
It
that
wouldn't
in
surprise
Toronto.
Me. You remember the Yankees were like one of the last to ever have it in their stadium.
But this was in Toronto, I thought.
In Toronto, maybe, and I'm surprised for him. I mean, I would think that he would kind of get off on some of that stuff unless he wasn't feeling good.
I also heard that he used to rub his body with Tiger Balm.
That's disgusting. I mean, that would burn. Yeah. You know, I told you that whole deal. I worked out with him for years. 7 years. Him, me, him, Andy Pettit, and Brian McNamee. Yeah. The only one of those guys you haven't heard of. And it's not Brian McNamee.
CJ, this is fun.
The trainer.
It's great to have you on the podcast again. Will you come back and hang out again?
I will, only if you guys spell my name right on the rundown next
time. Play
ball! Oh! I mean, that is an absolute debacle.
Where?
NITKWOSK. I pronounce that for me, if you could.
No, but we got your Twitter handle right.
Yeah, the Twitter handle's right.
Nice. All right, there we go.
It's CJ at CJ.
You know what?
Nitkowski.
Mike Botticello, who's been let go, actually put this together. So that's why we let him go. This was the last straw.
I told Jim that's how I found out. I fell behind a little bit, and I always listen to the pod when I'm traveling. And I had to fly to Dallas the other day, and then I flew here afterwards to get the season started. I'm listening, and like, oh, big news for Mike. I'm thinking, oh, did he get engaged? What's going on?
No. Mike is dead.
I was like, oh, man.
I know.
Tough times here.
He'll be all right. He'll be all right.
Can't wait to have you on the new TV show, and make sure you bring us a gift for
I'm thinking hard, man. I'm thinking really hard.
Just an empty beer bottle that your son made.
Yeah. Well, they're like 3/4 full because he's a lightweight. Right. He can't get through all the beer yet.
Just a couple of sips.
We're working.
At CJ Nikowski.
Get out of here.
Thanks, my friend.
Any more Metallica stories coming? Was that the 92-93 tour you were talking about?
Yeah.
I went to that tour.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where?
In a Giant Stadium.
Giant Stadium.
Oh, nice.
Guns N' Roses. I actually left during the middle of their show. Metallica was way better.
Wow.
Sorry.
Oh, guys. Maybe CJ better.
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay. That's cool. That's cool. There's a lot of people that felt that way.
All right.
A lot of people felt that way, too.
See you, CJ.
See you, CJ.
See you, buddy. CJ Nikowski. What a guy. Can't wait to go for beers with CJ. I'll finish the beers. We're going to call Pete Traeger.
Jim, let's call him right now.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, we're going to call. Sorry about that, Pete Traeger.
See you, CJ.
Bye, CJ.
See you, buddy.
So we'll do a quick five. I guess we're going to be late for our meeting, but who cares?
Sorry, we went long with CJ. I kind of got wrapped up in the talking about fastballs. Sorry.
Yes, you did. That's okay.
So I liked it.
Yeah.
I like talking base.
Yeah. Ha ha, very
Maybe
funny.
Maybe we should start a baseball podcast. We should have three podcasts.
Yeah, sure.
That'd be great.
Dan O'Toole here.
Let's do it. Yeah. Do we not have a baseball podcast?
No.
There we go. Lock it down.
Did we once have a baseball podcast?
No.
We never did? Why don't we have the MLB Whip Around podcast?
Okay.
I'd love that idea. Rich, what do you think?
All right, let's do it.
I think
Ryan Brumley can put it together.
Toolsy can host.
Jim, your hair is wild.
Magnificent right now.
It's wild.
It's amazing.
Peter Schrager? Our NFL insider? Peter?
Gentlemen?
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you guys? It's the off season. I'm enjoying all the stuff I'm seeing on Fox Sports 1 with you guys every single night. And then I listen to the podcast. I'm laughing my butt off. Everything's good. I'm watching a Trump rally right now. He came into the songs of the CD of ESPN's Jock Jams. Found that to be amazing. Everything is good in the world. I'm enjoying
it. Peter, it's your off season. Why aren't you at the Masters?
I don't do golf. I've never picked up a golf club in my life. I've never been to a golf event. I always felt like I was a Jersey Shore rugrat. Like, it's just too elitist for me. And to pick up golf now, it just wouldn't feel natural. I'm more of a scrappy guy. I like polo and tennis. I don't really do the golf.
Yeah, you like tennis. You like some of the elite sports, but golf, it's just not. Did you watch Caddyshack as a kid? I feel like that.
No, never. Didn't think Caddyshack was very funny.
What?
I know that's
really?
What? No, hey, look, I don't think Caddyshack's that funny. I never laughed once at Animal House. I just don't think that comedy resonates with me. Now, Billy Madison, Tommy Boy, those kind of movies.
Okay, Peter, let me get your thoughts on this.
Pixels.
Yeah. Speaking of movies that there's a definite line, you either like it or you hate it, Dumb and Dumber.
Love.
Oh, okay. Love. See, I didn't find that funny, and I said that to someone the other day, and they're like, what are you talking about?
Well, I'll give you another one. I think it's good. Slapshot recently. I never saw it, and then I recently saw it. I thought it was kind of a dour, sad movie. Like, I didn't understand
the comedy.
There's
some sad moments.
There was a lot of, like, but yeah, like, they're, like, in a steel mining town, and everyone's sad, and there's, like, issues with women. Certainly not a slapstick comedy. I must have been misguided on that, and I feel kind of the same way with Caddyshack. So there's a duty in the pool. I guess that's all right. Bill Murray pretending to be handicapped or something. I'm not sure what that character is. So I don't know. I like Robert Loggia. I like that. But other than that, I'm not sure. There's
Robert Loggia was not in Caddyshack.
I don't know who that is.
Ted Knight was great in it, though. Come on.
So, Schrager, what is your favorite sports movie?
Robert Loggia just died, actually.
What's he in?
He's got that gravelly voice, kind of like, I'm Robert Loggia. He's been in a million movies. You know what he was in? Wasn't he in Big?
Yes, he was. He owned the toy store.
That's right.
Perfect.
Yeah, that guy.
Loggia versus Ted Knight. There you go. That's a conversation for 2016.
Oh, man. Loggia would have kicked Ted Knight's
Schrager,
ass.
Schrager, since we're on the topic, your favorite sports movie?
Oh, favorite sports movie. I love the Rockies. I'm a sucker for those.
Yeah.
Actually, I'd say, like, my favorite sports trilogy as a kid, though, was the Mighty Ducks movies. And anytime they're on, I get suckered in. I'll watch the Mighty Ducks movie.
Pete, I have a question. So, Dan threw a Dumb and Dumber. I have one that I like to throw to people as, do you love it or not love it?
Mm-hmm.
The Big Lebowski.
Liked.
Not loved.
I mean, I also think the people that quote it all the time and the lines from the they've never seen the movie. They
They just want to live the lifestyle.
They just want to be cool. They want to be the dude.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, I think, you know, Buscemi's character is amazing. Like, good movie. Like, it was on a plane recently. I was like, I'll give back this.
Yeah.
I'll watch it. I'll get into it. But, you know, I'll give you another one. Everyone raves about Anchorman. I've seen Anchorman about 4 or 5 times. I don't know if the whale's vagina line is still that funny. I'm not sure Anchorman is that funny.
But other parts are better.
I think it actually is. It holds up. I remember I saw Anchorman and Dodgeball on the same day, Pete, in the theaters.
That's a good day.
And I actually thought Dodgeball was funnier at the time. I don't know if I would still think
throwing wrenches is gold.
It was funny.
God, seriously.
I thought it was going to be terrible.
You guys bring up a great point. So there are a couple movies that, like, you walk out of and you're like, that's an all-time classic. I'll give you another one. Wedding Crashers. I left Wedding Crashers. I was like, f***ing my pants. I'm like, this is the best movie ever. I've watched it back recently. I'm like, it's kind of a romantic comedy and has about an hour worth of dark moments where they're like depressed and lonely. I'm not sure it's that funny anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes it's like Toolsy said. Sometimes you're on a plane and a movie seems better somehow on a plane or something like that.
Yeah, the high altitudes. I thought the Tooth Fairy was hilarious on a plane. I was in stitches.
Oh, God.
Have you seen Machete? Peter Schreger?
I'll give you one more. Give you one more, Dan. There's a recent movie. I swear, you're talking about getting emotional. I'll cry at any movie I watch on a plane. You're right. Like, there's something up there. There was one with Anne Hathaway and Robert De Niro where she, like, hires him as an intern. It's called The Internship.
Oh, yeah.
The Intern or something. I was like, all right, I'll watch it. Midway through, I'm like texting my wife from the air, like, movie of the year. This is going to be awesome. This movie's incredible.
I watched that on a plane,
it's incredible.
Really? I have a friend, Pete. Here's another one. I love the original Vacation. I'm a huge fan of that movie. I had a friend just tell me that he watched the new Ed Helms remake, which was critically...
Wait, I want to hear what you're going to say. I want to hear what you're saying. I just saw it on a flight.
Okay. So that movie, if people don't know, was just dumped on it. Bombed. People were shitting on it. My buddy, who I trust implicitly his taste, said he will go to his grave thinking that the Ed Helms Vacation was funnier than the original Vacation.
Jay, I have a story for you. This is last Monday night. It's been running on HBO. I had no clue it was even related to the other Vacation. I never even knew it came out. I put it on. There's nothing on but women's basketball. I'm like, I can't watch that. I'm going to put this on instead. Put it on. My wife and I are hysterically laughing. It's amazing. It's the most. It's probably the dirtiest movie I've seen in years. It's got tons of vulgar humor. There are several scenes where I'm crying with tears coming out of my eyes. My wife's like, it's not that funny. I'm like, no, it is. So Vacation, Ed Helms version, I mean, it is, it's a hoot. It's a hoot.
Okay.
Well, Peter, have you seen Machete with Danny Trejo? I just saw it the other night, and I don't know, it's just because we were going to meet the guy the next day, but I think it's one of the, in my top 10 already.
Is it a comedy? I know Machete.
It's like over-the-top craziness that makes you laugh. Because
who's in it? Because Danny Trejo can't be the lead comedian in the movie.
No, it's like Robert Rodriguez. And
Danny Trejo. You got the Lindsay Lohan, Michelle Rodriguez.
Texas. I know their whole deal. They do their whole thing.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet. I got to see it.
Okay.
Now I have one more because I love this discussion. Yeah. And then I think we got to let you go, Pete. Where do you stand on Field of Dreams?
Ooh,
of Dreams.
Not a sports movie.
I'm here's what I think of it, Pete. My thumb is pointed downward.
That is possibly my number one favorite movie.
Pointed downward. I know people fall on both sides of that, but
you asked what was my favorite sports movie. Field of Dreams is a sappy movie about father and son and legacy, and there's no baseball. Like, if you want to talk the best baseball movie,
hey, Moonlight Graham, come on.
Major League is the best baseball movie, or you can even go with Eight Men Out. It was about baseball.
The Natural?
The Natural's a baseball movie. I think Bull Durham is a baseball movie.
Yeah,
but
Bull Durham,
But to say Field of Dreams is a baseball movie...
Yeah, I'd agree with you there.
If you replace the leads of that movie with women, are you watching Field of Dreams? No.
Yes.
Read the exact same script. It's garbage.
I am watching it, and it stars Gina Davis, Madonna, and Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's called A League of Their Own.
Exactly.
Who plays the Kevin Costner's wife? What's her name? Because that is the
Jean
most...
Jean Triplehorn?
It's the most over-the-top acting ever see in a movie.
Is it Rene Russo, or is it Jean Triplehorn? Yeah, which one?
I can't remember.
It's not Jeannie Triplehorn.
I can't remember.
It's someone else. I forget her name. Anyway.
I kind of take it back. My favorite sports movie of all time actually is a little bit off the radar. It's a movie called Blue Chips. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Neal with Shaq.
Leon Bedeau and Penny Hardaway.
Yeah.
And Butch McRae. That is an underrated sports movie that is never on cable, that no matter what, I would watch it no matter what.
Nick
I love it.
Nolte, Nick Nolte, right? Yeah.
Fantastic.
I love that
Pete
movie.
Bell. Fantastic.
I remember seeing it in the theater at West Edmonton Mall. Nice.
And that's fantastic. I love this. I'm going to get killed by people for not liking Caddyshack or Animal House.
No, no. It's your opinion. That's what Fox is all about.
Yeah, you can have your... We like strong opinions, Pete. That's the new era of FS1.
Traeger bomb.
There will be no highlights of this conversation, but we can have debate.
Yeah. Thanks,
Peter. Talk. Love you, buddy.
Bye, guys.
That's our NFL insider, Peter Schrager. Follow him on Twitter, at PSchrags. That's PSCHRAGS. And we mentioned CJ's Twitter handle. We should spell out his last name.
Yeah, at CJNITKAW. KOWSKI. Sorry about that.
Yeah. So, follow the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at JNDan. And follow the weekly podcast, the Fox Sports Live podcast, which is going back to its original form.
We tried something, it didn't work. That's just the way we do things at FS1.
Thanks for watching live.
Thanks for watching.
Hey, Facebook Live. And I got a bunch of questions on here, and I didn't get a chance to answer them. Sorry, Ben Teller. But here is one. Is Jay hiding rye in that Coca-Cola cup? No, I'm not.
Also, thank you to our Facebook partners. They shared this video to the Sports on Facebook page, so it's been going out to...
Oh, my God.
All right.
Hey, Facebook. Yay. Hey, thanks, Zuckerberg.
Zuckerberg, you're good in our books.
Yeah, you seem like a good guy.
I just call him Zuckerberg. Zuckerberg.
You're on a roll.
Yeah, you're really struggling. Hey, soon you're going to be hosting 3 podcasts.
Yeah.
That's going to be
And
awesome.
We have a golf one. We'll start a golf one.
Let's fire that up, too.
Okay,
Shane
screw
Bacon.
That.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, Shane Bacon wants to come on our podcast.
Oh, well, let's bring him on. And very soon, Nikki Benz, Canadian adult film star.
And
she's coming on the podcast. Everything's coming up, Jandan.
Wait.
Here?
Yeah, she's going to come in studio.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So busy on the computer.
Very cool.
We got Jim's attention. Thanks for watching, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks.
Or listening.
So long,
thanks for listening.
My time, you
sorry.
Oh, Elvis has just left the building.
Love you, boys. Have a great one.